So who can tell me the objections that we've gone through? We've named them problems. The problem of?
The problem of evil.
The problem of evil, yes.
The problem of truth.
The problem of truth. True. What else did we go through? The problem of God.
God-man.
Nice. That was a cool title, right? The problem of a God-man. So did we solve those problems? Well, we're not necessarily trying to solve them. We started off each talk this way. Our goal is to investigate the claims of Christianity. So we're not necessarily trying to solve the problems, but we're wanting to give you guys the other side, because you hear the objection side all the time at school, on TV and movies, from friends or whatever. And so we're hoping to kind of give you the other side to that objection here, and to let you guys decide for yourself. You know, you gather the evidence and you decide for yourself, does this sound true? Is this something that's important? Is this something that I need to think about? So our goal is actually not just for you guys to kind of swallow everything that we're dishing out, but to actually think about it. And not just at Ignite, but these are important questions. And so we want you guys to really think about these things past Ignite. Hopefully we're giving you a little bit of, I guess, food for thought to think about. So today is one of the biggest objections that I've come up against. And it's tough because it's one of those ones that I haven't heard too many answers that I'm really satisfied with. It's very difficult. And part of it is our culture doesn't like exclusive claims about anything. Right? Especially as Canadians, we're very politically correct. We want everyone's opinion to be valid. We want everybody to have a say, and not that that's bad. I think it's important that we all have an opinion, and I think it's important that everybody has the freedom to express that. But that just because you have the freedom to express it doesn't mean it's valid, right? I've heard some pretty wacky opinions out there that we could pretty much all agree are not valid. There's some really weird ones. So today we want to kind of bring it all in, and we want to talk about this problem of there just being one way. And here's the objection. It's offensive to claim that Jesus is the only way to God. All right, here's a few questions that we're going to talk about and hopefully answer. And some of them might be answered in your small group. So here we go. Is it arrogant to claim that your way is the only way? This is the big one. Arrogance. Or is it offensive? This is probably the question that gets people's blood boiling the most. Because whenever you claim that you have a corner on the truth, or that you have something that everyone else doesn't, it's kind of offensive to people, isn't it? Especially if you do it in a rude way. Then it's even more offensive. Because here's the deal. Christians have got a bad rap in the past, and for good reason. Not all Christians, but some Christians. Because they're not just proclaiming the message. They're doing it very rudely and arrogantly. And the Bible says that, if you don't speak the truth in love, you're like a resounding gong. Like, it doesn't matter how true your statements are or how convinced you are of their truth. If you don't do it in love, it doesn't matter. If you're a jerk about it, people are going to reject it because of you. And that has been the case throughout history. And we see that, like, when you look back in church history and you see some of the horrible things that Christians have done, not just to other people who are non-Christians, but other Christians, it's crazy. You ask, what in the world is going on? How can they do that? How can they claim to follow Jesus and yet do all these horrible things to each other? It's crazy. Okay, so now talk about arrogance. What about all the other religions? That's a big question, is it not? I've wondered about that for years. Especially growing up. I was like, well, I've grown up in the church, but what about the other religions? And this is something I've heard as well. Aren't all religions basically the same? In fact, some of you have been in my office and asked me this question. And here's another one. Why can't there be more than one way? And if you're wondering what the whole one way deal is, we're going to talk about it in a little while. It's one of the claims that Jesus made. And finally, if Jesus is the truth, why do so many reject him? If there is something that's true that we can all grasp and that we can all accept and find, then why do so many people reject Jesus? All right, let's give her. First question we're going to answer. Is Christianity the only religion with exclusive claims? Do you guys know what an exclusive claim is? What? Okay, it's a claim that excludes other people, right? So it's only us kind of deal. And there's lots of exclusive claims in our world. You guys give me, outside of Christianity, can you guys give me an example of an exclusive claim?
I got the biggest fish in the
lake. Yeah. There you go. Exclusive claims, right? Anybody else? Okay. What? That's an exclusive. Anyone else? What's an exclusive claim? Nice. My dad can beat up your dad. Okay, how about this? Let's go to the next level. Have you guys heard an exclusive claim that makes you angry? Like what? I heard a yes. Okay. Because you're claiming to have some absolute truth, right? That this is it and that's it. Right? So another, some more, something that makes your blood boil. When.
I can't get 10% off unless I have
a card. Members only, right? Exclusive. Right. Or how about trying to buy an Apple computer? They give a student discount, but I don't get a discount. It's exclusive to students. It's not fair. How about, last question before we dive into this question. Is there any exclusive claims that make you happy?
Claims are the best.
Okay.
I got one for one that makes me angry.
What?
Claims are the best.
Okay. Anybody? Is there an exclusive claim that just like makes you happy? Okay, that makes you happy? Awesome. What's that? Have you guys ever wondered what it is about most exclusive claims that make us angry? It's exclusive. And we're not included, right? When you're excluded, it feels like you're rejected, right? Isn't that kind of at the bottom of why we get angry when there's an exclusive claim? All right, let's go. Okay, the question is Christianity the only religion with exclusive claims? And here's the deal. We're known for the exclusive claim of Jesus is the only way to God and heaven. And we're going to investigate that in our small groups. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're known. That's our biggest claim to fame, I guess, for Christians, is that Christians claim that this is the only way. Okay? That's a really tough and strong claim. Okay, but do any of the other religions have exclusive claims? Yes, they do. Let's start with Islam. Muslims cannot tolerate disagreement with the Quran. Okay? Not only that, they say that it can't even be translated from the original language. It's exclusive not only in that this is the inspired text of God, but it can't even be translated into other languages. Very exclusive. How about Buddhism? It seems to be a really inclusive kind of religion, doesn't it? Well, Buddhism is actually a protest against two of the major claims of Hinduism. Okay? Buddhism does not accept the Hindu scriptures and the caste system.
The caste system is horrible.
It is? Our culture really violently doesn't like that, does it? Everybody's equal, and that's a big value of our culture. How about Hinduism? Because there's actually been, like, the high-up guys in Hinduism make big speeches about how inclusive Hinduism is. What do you guys think? I guess the answer's up there. Hinduism does not accept that views of life that do not include karma and reincarnation are valid. In fact, they'll when you tell them, I believe Jesus is God, they'll be like, oh yeah, we have lots of gods. That's great. You know, we're inclusive. But if you tell them that there's no reincarnation and no karma, that karma doesn't exist, then you're out. And in fact, just recently, a couple years ago was when this book that I was reading talked about it. There was some Hindu militants that were killing Christians, that were murdering them because of this exclusive claim. So again, this Hinduism is not really inclusive. How about atheists? Are they inclusive?
No.
They have a very exclusive claim, right? That differs from all the other religions except Buddhism. Because Buddhism accepts that there's no God. Okay, so here's the deal. There are thousands of religions. Every single religion or belief system, including atheism, has exclusive claims to truth. Every single one. In fact, if you think about it, it's the reason that they have their own religion. It's the reason that Hinduism is Hinduism, right? It's built on a set of beliefs. And if you don't believe those are true, well, then you can't accept Hinduism. It's exclusive. Here's a kind of a multiple group of questions we're going to ask. Aren't all religions basically the same? Don't they all lead to the same place? Don't they all have a piece of the truth, and therefore aren't they valid? Well, as we just talked about, every religion has its own exclusive claim. That's what separates it from the other religions. That's what separates Buddhism from Hinduism. They have their own exclusive claims. But none of the religions are the same, as none of them are in total agreement. They all contradict each other in some way, and most of them, right down at their core beliefs, contradict each other. And then there's another religion called the Baha'i. And what the Baha'is believe is that all roads lead to heaven. All the religions are the same, and they all lead to the same place. They're all roads to God. Well, in order to become a Baha'i, I think what you have to do is not look into the other religions. Because if you study any of the other major religions, you will find that they are very, very different. You know, from Buddhism, where it's just the divine consciousness, right? There's not even a God. And Hinduism, with reincarnation and karma, they're so different. It's impossible to logically make a decision that all religions are the same when you actually investigate them and look into them. They're not. They're totally different. And anybody who's looked into it and investigate it, it's actually very easy to see. You just got to look at their core beliefs and see how they differ. And they completely differ. So can two contradictory roads lead to the same place? Logically, of course not. It's impossible, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. You may have heard this. It's a story that once you go to college and if you take philosophy, you'll definitely hear this story. Okay, it's a story about an elephant and three blind men. Three blind men come to an elephant. Sounds like a joke, right? And they're placed at different ends of the elephant. One, yeah, sorry, the dude in the back is going to get a raw deal. Anyway, so one guy is placed at the leg, one guy is placed at the back, and one guy is placed standing up on the side. And so the first blind man is asked, what do you see? Okay? What do you act, you know, blind, what do you see? So he feels, right? He sees with his hands. He feels, he feels this leg, and he's like, he doesn't know what it is, right? He can't see the whole thing. He can only see the leg with his hands. And he's like, it's a tree. And the second blind man pipes up at the back of the elephant, and he's like, that's not a tree. That's a rope. He's got the tail, right? So the third blind man is like, a tree and a rope? What do you guys? Hi? That's not part of the parable. that's our take on it. Adaptation, there you go. And the third guy's got like, you guys are crazy. And he's feeling the ear of the elephant. He's like, it's a fan. So which one of the blind men is right, is the question. None? All of them? Why? They don't know better. See, this is one of the parables that you'll hear in a philosophy class to show that every religion has a piece of the truth, and therefore every religion is valid. But here's the problem with the parable. The person telling the parable, or even making up the parable, must have a claim, an exclusive claim, to know that what is there is not a tree, is not a rope, is not a fan. It's an elephant. We've been told by the parable teller, it's an elephant, right? So, is it valid for the blind men to believe that the elephant is a tree? Is that a valid opinion? Why? But he's allowed to have that opinion, right? But because it's not true, it's not valid, right? How about the guy at the tail? Is that a valid claim of truth? It's a rope. That's what it feels like. No. Why? But he's entitled to that opinion, right? But is it correct? No. So here's the claim of Christianity, is that God has revealed himself. So in this parable, it's like he's revealed himself so we can actually see that what's standing before us is not a tree, not a rope, not a fan, but an elephant. And God sent his son Jesus to this earth. And this is what we talked about last week. God among us, right? Emmanuel, all the prophecies of Scripture hundreds of years before, leading up to Jesus, we're prophesying that this would happen so that God would reveal himself. See, the problem with this parable is that the claim is that God hasn't revealed himself. Nobody knows that this is an elephant. But the Bible says different. The Bible says God has revealed himself both in his word, which is the second objection that we talked about, and through Jesus Christ, who lived, who actually walked among us and lived in this earth, on this earth. All right, see, our politically correct culture does not deal very well with opposing views and exclusive claims. But is this exclusive claim, is it arrogant? Is it offensive to claim that the elephant is an elephant? No. And so if God chose to reveal himself in a certain way, is it offensive to claim that God revealed himself in that way? It could be, right? In and of itself, it's not offensive. But for someone who doesn't want to believe that, it could be offensive. Okay. Let's investigate the claim of Jesus himself. How can we know it's true? The claim of one way. In John, it's a gospel book in the Bible. It's a biography of Jesus. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well." Who's Jesus' Father? Who is he claiming to be here? God. "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Is that not an outrageous claim? Jesus, in that statement right there, is claiming to be God. That if you have seen Jesus, you've seen God. And this is what we talked about last week and the week before. We talked about the evidence of God's word. That when we looked into the Bible and delved into it, is this just a book written by men? Or is it something more? I mean, it was a 40-some minute talk, right? We delved into it deep. And we looked at all sorts of things, like prophecy and how it separates the Bible from all other religious texts. How it can predict the future and is always right. That's pretty crazy. Okay, last week we looked into the evidence of Jesus being God. We looked again at the prophecy. There's over 400 prophecies prophesying that Jesus would come, that God's Son would come, that God would actually come, become a man, and live among us. And all of the evidence that we went through last week kind of ended off with this one thing, that if Jesus rose from the dead, then all the claims have to be true. And we looked at that evidence. How many witnesses did we say there was? Over 500 witnesses. Though they weren't visions. They weren't dreams. 500 separate witnesses that Jesus was actually alive. They ate with him. They talked with him. They touched him. He was real. It was Jesus. He even taught them. It was amazing. He was actually alive. So if the Bible is true and Jesus is God, then this is the only explanation to what he says is also true. And Jesus made this exclusive claim. If you want to know God, you need to go through me. Okay. This is a very famous verse that you guys probably have heard lots. This is what it says. This verse kind of summarizes the whole gospel, the whole good news about Jesus coming to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Is that not good news? But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There's four things that we need to take from this passage. First of all, God loved. The key to this passage. The whole, God always initiates. He's the one that loved us first. Because God loved us so much, he couldn't stand to see us separated from him. He knew that he needed to do something, and he set a plan in action right back at the start of the Bible, where we see this plan starting to come, where Jesus would eventually come. It's looking forward to Jesus. He loved us so much that what did he do? He gave his Son. Now, most of you guys, except for our leaders, have a real hard time thinking about giving up your Son. I have one Son. And the very thought of giving up my Son crushes me. Like, this summer, my little boy got lost in Provincial Park. And he was lost for an hour and a half. And we were freaking. My wife was like a wreck. And she's still recovering, 2 months later. It's still, in fact, we just talked about it a couple days ago. It's still there. Still feel it. And man, the thoughts that go through your head are amazing. I'm just like, that's my Son. That's my little boy. I only got one. And it was tough. I went to the park and I started looking, and it's a big park, right? Provincial Park is huge. And the despair in my heart because I couldn't find him was horrifying. And God, knowing that his Son would be murdered, sent his Son anyway. God knew the cost of his love for us. He sent Jesus. So God loved. God gave. He gave us Jesus. And what is our response to this whole thing? This is our role. We believe, right? If you believe, this is our role. No other religion talks about, well, if you believe that Jesus can save you and you can't save yourself, or not just Jesus, anybody. No other religion has that claim. That somebody else would pay for your sin and pay for the wrong things that you've done. No other religion. Every single other religion is about working your way to heaven, being good enough, if they believe in heaven. If you're going into Hinduism and with reincarnation, well, you've got to be good enough so that you can go up in the next life. Otherwise, you go down and become a mosquito. I don't know. That would suck. Pun intended. Okay, and when we believe, what does God do? God, again, three things God does, one thing we do. What's the last thing God does? He gives us life. Is that not awesome? Like, think about this claim. This exclusive claim that God did, well, we believe, and then God does again. Gives us life. So here's the real question. Who is arrogant? Who is offensive? Is it God for actually providing a way to find him and find life resulting in salvation, even though it cost him his very son? Is it God who's arrogant that he would provide a way for salvation? He doesn't have to. We sinned. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. That because of our sin, we've become enemies of God. God didn't have to do that. But he did anyway. Because why? Because he loved. Or is it us who reject God's revelation of himself, the Bible, and reject Jesus, which is his way to find him, and his sacrifice in our behalf? Where's the arrogance? Who's arrogant? Which claim of exclusivity, sorry, that's a big word, is the most arrogant, the most offensive? Is it God's? Look what he did for us. Or is it us who reject that and want to find our own way? All right, before we go to our small groups and continue discussing some of these things, I just want to pray for you guys. I've kind of had fun in this series, done quite a bit of studying. And here's the thing. I really believe that when you open your heart and when you really desire to seek God, that you'll find him. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "Seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart." So if some of these questions, and you've been, you've been thinking about them and processing them, here's, if you want to find the truth, then you need to seek God with all your heart. Find out. Seek him. And the truth will become plain as day to you. You'll be able to see, oh, well, that's an elephant. Sorry if you missed the story. That would be really weird. What? That doesn't make sense. So keep investigating, keep thinking, and as you go to your small groups, it's a chance to ask some more questions and to talk about some of these things. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you provided a way, that without you, there was no way, that the only way that we could get back into a life-giving relationship with you was for you to do it, for you loved us, and you sent your son at great, immense cost that you ask us to believe, and then you give us life, eternal life. Lord, what an awesome deal. Thank you, Lord. Help us to, Lord, we just admit we're prideful people. In my whole life, I've wanted to do it my way. And I know all of us are in that same boat. We want to do it our way. Lord, help us to seek you with all our hearts, to really open our minds and our hearts to what you want for us, and help us to find truth, Father. Show us the way. Show us who you are, as you have promised, if we seek you with all our heart. Father, be with our small groups. I just pray that you give our leaders wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that there'd be some really good, healthy discussion tonight. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.